Thanks for listening to the Inner Life Podcast. Be sure to join us every weekday at 11 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio or on the Relevant Radio app. Find your local Relevant Radio station at relevantradio.com or stream us live every day on the Relevant Radio app.
It's time to set out on the pathway to healing and light. This is the Inner Life on Relevant Radio. If you have questions or concerns about your faith journey, if you are struggling or searching for something more, if you are in need of some spiritual direction, our Catholic priests are here to help.
One heart at a time.
Welcome to the Inner Life on Relevant Radio.
Well, happy Thursday to you, wherever you are. I am glad to have you joining us here during this hour of the Inner Life, our hour dedicated to spiritual direction here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Hi, I'm Josh Raymond. Now, what's your favorite passage from Scripture? And if you have more than one favorite, you know, that's okay. But what place or places in the Bible do you find yourself going back to again and again? Maybe it's because that passage gives you hope, or your favorite verses, they bring you some comfort, some consolation. Perhaps you like that section of Scripture because it reinforces your faith when you are facing doubts or maybe questions. It could be even all of these things combined. Certain passages in the Bible are favorites for so many of us, like Psalm 23. I would wager that's probably the most famous psalm that we have. The words are so familiar to Christians around the world. Only six verses, very short. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Another popular section is in St. Paul's, his first letter to the Corinthians, where he talks about love. I'm sure you've heard this too. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And St. Paul goes on to talk more about love, where he finally wraps up with those three theological virtues. Now abide these three, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Another section from the writings of St. Paul in the New Testament that's quite familiar, if you've been in the church for any length of time, this is from his letter to the Philippians. And it's in the second chapter where he writes, Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And, being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That part right there from that letter to the Philippians, many Bible scholars through the years have believed that this passage was actually a hymn, perhaps one of the very first hymns ever written for the Christian community, the song of praise used by that early church in the first century. But regardless of whether it's one of these or another reading that's a familiar verse or two in the Bible, or maybe you're coming across a section, something that you've read in the past, but now you read it again and something really connects with you. Whatever it might be, the Scriptures, they're rich with layers of truth and meaning. And while they were originally written to an audience that lived 2,000 years ago, God still speaks to us through Scripture today, here and now. I ended up studying Greek in a college, the language, Greek, and it was to be able to read some of the original text of the New Testament. And my professor, the professor of that class, when he would reference something profound that we had just read through in the Bible in the Greek language, he would regularly make this exclamation. He would say, "There's gold in them hills." And he's right. There's so much that we can unpack in the Bible. And we regularly do this from an intellectual standpoint. We want to understand our faith better. We want to understand what's being said or have a better grasp of a certain teaching of our faith. But the church also has a beautiful tradition of looking to the words of Scripture as a source for us to enter into prayerful reflection. This is something that we call Lectio Divina. And today on The Inner Life, we want to take this hour to look at this form of prayer so that we can enter more deeply into those inspired words of Scripture, and ultimately, we can grow to know God better and better. And joining us is our spiritual director today here on The Inner Life, Father Ethan Southard is back with us once again. Father Ethan is a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, and he's the pastor of St. John Ute's Church in Chatsworth, California. Father Ethan, welcome back to The Inner Life. Glad to have you here. Do you have a favorite passage that's like a go-to for you? You find yourself revisiting time and time again?
Thank you, Josh. It's great to be with you all today. And I love just this topic of Lectio Divina, and I love that that quote from your professor in college, "There's gold in them hills." That's so true. For me, I continue to be nourished, and I love going back to Matthew chapter 11, and he just comes in, and this is 28 through 30. Matthew 11, 28 through 30, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." And it, for me, that reminds me that it's Christ himself who has the desire. It's Christ himself who is actually drawing me. He's calling me to him. And in that humility, in that meekness, actually allowing Christ to do that. You just quoted from Philippians chapter 2, that beautiful hymn, a little bit later, just after that, in verse 13, Philippians 2:13, Paul speaks of this. He speaks that it's God's own desire. And he has the power to desire, and then he has the power to work. He actually brings it to fulfillment if we let him, if we stay yoked to him in humility. So, yeah, Scripture is so beautiful. It's so rich, Josh.
Well, and like I say, we want to talk about specifically Lectio Divina today, and that literally translates into divine reading, the two Latin mm-hmm. words. But before we dive into the specifics of this form of prayer, it might be good here to spend just a minute or two at the beginning of the hour talking about prayer in general. And we talk about prayer in so many ways: mental prayer, meditative, contemplative. We pray to the saints. The Mass itself, that's the highest form of prayer that we have in the church. So there's a lot when we start talking about prayer. But just taking it down to kind of the fundamentals, the mere basics, what's a good starting point in understanding what prayer is in the life of a Christian?
Well, the prayer in the life of the Christian, that's God. God is the life of a Christian, and he gives us his life. In Ephesians chapter 1, we're told that this is the Father's plan of salvation. In verse 3, we hear, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in the beloved. And so that is the plan of God, is that we would come into fulfillment in him, in Christ. And it's a plan, it's a desire, it's a blessing that God has had given us before the foundation of the world. And so this is just truly a gift from God. God is just truly giving him to us, himself to us. And prayer is a means for us to actually uncover that mystery that has been hidden for ages, and for us to come to understanding, for us to come into that reality, for us to actually live that life of who we are. So that place, that meeting place of prayer, it's God's own gift. It's his own life within us. And St. Paul says, I don't even know how I should pray, but it's the Holy Spirit within me who's praying. And so it's that humility that Matthew was speaking of in chapter 11, of just actually allowing, in that humility, to allow the Holy Spirit to live his life within us. Mm. That's the essence of prayer.
Well, and as you're saying that, being able to participate in the life of God, that, you know, we enter into God and he allows us to commune with him in that prayer. As you were saying that phrase there, before the foundation of the world, it kind of took me back to where in the Mass, the priest says that Christ humbled himself. He participates in our humanity so that we can participate in his divinity. And that idea before the foundation of the world takes us back. We're stuck here in time, but God always knew, has always known, just because he is eternal, that we would be his children. And I love that, you know, we get to, as finite, locked in time and space beings, get to participate in eternity with no beginning, no ending, because God allows us and has seen us throughout all of eternity, knowing that we are destined, as St. Paul talks about. It's such a beautiful thought to know that God has loved us for all eternity.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, he's loved us from all eternity. He has never stopped loving us. And, you know, that's the original sin, is when our original parents, you know, Adam and Eve, they had reached for that fruit of the tree. They were reaching for something. They were reaching for that identity. They were reaching, and they didn't have to. They were tricked into believing that they needed to reach for something, but God has already given it. So you don't need to reach because you already have. And so now we've inherited that misunderstanding. We've you know, inherited that broken, fractured part of us, where we start to reach, we think we have to do something to be loved. And God is telling us, you are loved. You are loved. I love you from before the foundation of the world, from your mother's womb. You have been brought into existence in love, and nothing could change that. God's love, God doesn't change. His love for us doesn't change. But for that mystery that's hidden within us, the Holy Spirit himself, God's own love, he's yearning, he's desiring for us to come to that union with him. He's desiring for us to uncover that mystery. And so it's God's own desire within us who's drawing us to him, and it's God's own desire, and it's his own power within us that is actually enabling us to come into union and to the fullness of who we are created to be. And Lectio Divina helps to dispose us to that reality, but it's the relationship is already there. So we can't go do something. We can't go pray ourselves into union with God. We can't do it. But in humility and meekness, we could actually allow God to love us, and in that relationship, he's going to use these different means of prayer, like Lectio Divina, or, you know, that in the most concentrated, powerful way, it's the Mass and the sacraments themselves that God is using to draw us deeper into love with him. But the relationship is there first, and the Holy Spirit is the essence of prayer.
Talking with Father Ethan Southard today here on The Inner Life. Father Ethan is a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, and we are talking about Lectio Divina, praying with Scripture today here on The Inner Life. And we're going to go through the basics of the different steps and examine those different steps of praying through Scripture here in just a moment. But how has praying through the Scriptures helped you to enter into that relationship, to know and love God better? Has it allowed you to deepen that friendship with Christ? When has God spoken to you through that time of prayer and reflecting on what you've read in the Bible? Or maybe you have a question about this form of prayer, about Lectio Divina, and you're welcome to call in and join us here at 888-914-9149. Again, the number 888-914-9149. So, Father, I mentioned with Lectio Divina, we're reading some portion of the Bible. We're using this for prayer, but the approach is different than what we might do with, say, a Bible study. You know, both are good, both have their place, but can you kind of help us have, I guess, before we get into the steps, just kind of a broad understanding of the difference in our approach for entering into prayer while reading the Scriptures versus studying the Scriptures just from an intellectual standpoint?
Yeah. Well, you know, first we go back to the author of the Scriptures. And, you know, God has willed it that he comes into partnership, he comes into union with us. He's entered into our world. And so in the incarnation, you know, he is taking on our humanity, he's taking on our flesh, he takes on our culture, our history. And so even before Jesus was born, God was already at work. In, you know, specifically and in a powerful way, even through our Jewish ancestors. And so with Scripture, you know, the Holy Spirit is the author and is drawing us in a specific way, you know, with our human authors. So it's an actual human person who is writing down these encounters and these stories. Either it's, you know, through the oral tradition, through the stories or the hymns, like you were mentioning earlier, but there's an inspiration, a divine inspiration through the Holy Spirit, and so that continues on with the rest of the writing. You know, God was working through and in and with Paul and Matthew and Luke and John and the others, and so now as we read the Scripture, Lectio Divina is inviting the Holy Spirit as the author of the Scripture to be in our lives and to be present with us today. And so the Holy Spirit is helping to interpret what those Scriptures, the deeper hidden mysteries of the Scriptures. And so it's not just a superficial or a historical reading or understanding or interpretation of the Scriptures, but it's actually allowing that space of God's own life to be moving with us. And you know, St. Paul speaks of this in Romans 1:16. He says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, for a Jew first and then the Greek." So Paul says that the gospel is the power of God himself. So it's that God's own power, it's his own desire, it's his own power to work within us. And so he's revealing his will, and he's drawing us into that communion and a deeper understanding. And so Lectio Divina helps us to be disposed to that encounter And so there are, as you mentioned, there are some steps, some formal steps that are taken, but that's the essence of what is happening.
Well, and maybe right after the break, we can go through those steps, kind of walk through that. But as you're saying this, it also strikes me that before those steps, it would probably be a good thing as we prepare ourselves to maybe pray the Come Holy Spirit prayer or something else where we're asking God to speak to us through those moments that we're going to be spent looking, reflecting, meditating upon the scriptures that we have in front of us. Any other kind of preparation that you might say is good before we go into that formal process of Lectio Divina?
I love the whole Come Holy Spirit prayer. I think that reminds us and helps us to be in that disposition where it's not necessarily us who's going to do a work. It's not necessarily our own interpretation of what we read. You know, we're not trying to fit God into our lives. You know, God, I want to use you for this. You know, fit yourself into my life, God. You know, that's the opposite of meek and humble. But the meekness and humility, you know, in Matthew 11, of what he's speaking of, it's actually us being yoked to Christ. It's us coming into union with God. So, you know, that prayer, just maybe a prayer of humility, where it's not us trying to fit God into our lives, but we're allowing ourselves to be drawn up into God's life. And we're allowing ourselves to actually come into, you know, reveal to me, God, what it is that you have for me today. And so we're allowing our own pride, we're allowing our own selves to be undone so that we could actually be taken up into a deeper communion in God. I think just a few moments of that kind of humble prayer, or just maybe just a deep breathing where we're kind of letting go of control and we're inviting God and giving him the permission to reveal a deeper mystery or a message for us in our lives. And it may be something that, you know, we don't want to hear or we don't want to see, but maybe that's just what we need.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Those aren't always the most pleasant moments, but yeah, it might be exactly what we need. Again, talking with Father Ethan Southard here on The Inner Life today about Lectio Divina, about how we pray through the scriptures, and how have you in your life praying through the scriptures, how has that helped you to know and love God better? How has it helped you to enter into that life of God, to more fully be in communion with him? When has God spoken to you through that time of prayer? Maybe it was something that was difficult for you to hear. It was something you didn't necessarily want to hear, but it's how God spoke to you through the scriptures through that time of prayer. Or maybe you have a question about Lectio Divina and how to best proceed in this form of prayer. You're welcome to call in and talk with Father Ethan, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. We'll talk about the specific steps of Lectio Divina. That's coming up next here on The Inner Life. You're listening to Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. We receive over 1 million prayer requests every year, thanks in part to the Catholic Order of Foresters studio line, helping us stay connected to your intentions. Learn how our sponsor can support your family with life insurance at relevantradio.com/Forester, an Illinois life insurance society not available in all states.
Listen, do you want to know a secret? Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa, closer.
All right, what is George Harrison singing? Do you want to know a secret have to do with praying through scripture? Father Ethan will explain that here in just a moment. But again, welcome to The Inner Life. I'm Josh Raymond, and so glad to have you along with us here today as we do talk about Lectio Divina, praying through the scriptures. And if you have a question about the process of Lectio Divina, or maybe how you've been able to pray through the scriptures and God has worked in your life, has been able to speak to you, has been able to draw you closer to him through reading and praying through the scriptures. We'd love to hear your experience as well. And you're welcome to call us at 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. All right. So Father Ethan, I think this is going to be a secret that's not really a secret that you're going to explain to us.
Yeah. Listen, do you want to know a secret? Whoa, whoa, whoa. So beautiful, isn't it? You know, Harrison is just saying, you know, listen, you know, come closer. Listen, listen, let me whisper in your ear. Say the words you long to hear. When you listen to that song, and I encourage everyone to go, that's the Beatles, Do You Want to Know a Secret? You can pull it up on YouTube, or maybe you've got the CD. But as you listen to that song, just imagine that God is singing this song to you. And he is just, it's the relationship that we were just talking of, Josh. It's that love affair that God has with us from before the foundation of the world. He could not wait to draw us into being and into union and communion with him. And so, you know, sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes it's so hard to believe, you know, how much God loves us. And so he's drawing us, you know, let me whisper in your ear. Let me tell you, you know, let me draw you closer. Let me whisper. I'm going to say the words that you long to hear. We all long to hear those words that we are loved. Every single one of us long to hear the words, I love you. And God speaks those words to us. I love you. I love you. He's drawing us closer. And so sometimes, you know, it comes to us as a secret, but it's the secret that he has already placed in the depths of our heart. It's already been there since we were born. That secret, that true revelation of who we are, who we're made to be, who we will be for eternity in God and with God is love. And that is that mystery that's being made manifest that St. Paul speaks of. You know, St. Paul says that God is, in Colossians 1:24, you know, God is revealing just this beautiful gift. So 24 through 26, he says that God is revealing the mystery hidden from all those ages, from generations past. But now it's being manifested to the holy ones, to whom God chose to make known the riches of the glory of this mystery. It is Christ in you, the hope for glory. So as God is drawing us closer in that tender embrace, we start to understand and we start to believe the gift of who we are. And that's the purpose, that's the goal of our lives, is to come into that fullness of who God created us to be, and which is Christ. It's the fullness of Christ being made manifest. It's coming to fulfillment. And it's not just an individual relationship. It's not just me and my relationship with Christ coming to fulfillment. It's all of us. It's the body of Christ coming to fulfillment, coming to knowledge, coming to that awareness of that love of who we are in union, closer. That's the secret that God is revealing to us. And, you know, Paul says later on in Corinthians, in his first letter in Corinthians, and he's at 26, he says, if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all the parts share its joy. That's 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 26. And so, you know, we're coming to that fulfillment of our lives in Christ. It's love. That's the secret that's been hidden. And, you know, we can listen. We listen to that beautiful song, that beautiful love that God is singing to us in our ears.
Talking with Father Ethan Southard again here today on The Inner Life, and looking at the process of praying Lectio Divina, praying with the scriptures. Lectio Divina literally translated means divine reading. And so how do we read those divine words that God has given us? How do we pray through those? And so right now, Father, let's go through kind of the formal four steps and maybe take one at a time here. The first one, Lectio. It's the first word in the form that we talk about here, but means read. So we're going to read something from Scripture, and like you said before the break, you know, it's more than just a superficial reading. We really want to pay attention to what we're reading because this will lead into the following steps.
Yes. So it's the Latin for that divine reading. And so the first step is that reading. And so coming in, you know, the first step is that relationship. That's the, you know, the pre-step. That's the foundation, is that coming in knowing that God loves us. So coming in that beautiful open space, in that love relationship. And then we read. You know, it could be just a daily passage. You know, maybe from the gospel of the day, or maybe we look forward to the gospel of the Sunday, or maybe there's a book of the Bible that you're reading, and you can just take a certain section, but you read it, and you know, you invite the Holy Spirit to help us, to maybe give us a word or a phrase. I usually just ask God. I say, you know, maybe there's a word or a phrase that you have for me today, God. And so reveal whatever that word or that phrase may be, and let it just pierce my heart, let it just touch my heart. And so I usually read over a passage, you know, probably three times, and just listen for that word. And as God speaks that word, then I just allow that word just to kind of penetrate my heart, to penetrate my mind. I could just kind of chew on it. If there's something flavorful that you love, you savor it. So you just kind of let it, you know, just we're reading with our whole being, and so with our whole being, we could just savor that word or that phrase that God is bringing up. And then the second step, yeah.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. That savoring of that word or that phrase leads right into that second step there. So yeah, please go ahead, Father. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that second step is to meditate. And so we're allowing that in that meditation, we're allowing whatever that word or that phrase, whatever that reading may be, whatever the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is coming up. It's just like Mary. Mary's the queen of Lectio Divina. She's the mother of Lectio Divina. Let it be done unto me according to your word. It's that beautiful openness, that disposition. And she pondered these things in her heart. She meditated on the very life of Christ as it's happening. And so, you know, what does this mean when the angel comes to me? What does this mean when, you know, Anna is revealing these things and, you know, all the other happenings? What does it mean when Jesus says, you know, my mother and my brothers and my sisters are those who do the word of God? She's hearing her own son, you know, say this. So she's meditating on this. She's letting it, you know, pondering it in her heart. And so she says that her soul does magnify the Lord. And so in that, her spirit rejoices. And so there's a prayer. So the first step is read. The second step is meditate. The third step is to pray. You know, God, what is it that you're sharing? What is it that you would like for me to do? What are you speaking to me today? Where are you leading me? And then the fourth step is to contemplate. And contemplate is actually, you know, it's not us contemplating. It's not us doing that. It's God doing it. It's God is the one who's contemplating. And so contemplating is the simplest form of a prayer. It's actually allowing God's own spirit to become flesh. It's the word becomes flesh. And so that contemplation is actually allowing God to enter in through the word and to take to allow God to take flesh within us. That is that contemplation. God is giving himself to us. He is becoming incarnate in our very being, and he's doing it through the Word. And so that's, and then we're being realigned, we're being recalibrated. Our entire being is coming up into God. Just like you said earlier, Josh, that beautiful prayer when the priest is preparing the gifts of the bread and the wine, and as he's preparing the wine, he pours a little drop of water into that wine. And you say, by the mystery of this water and wine, may we come to share in the divinity of Christ, who humbled himself to share in our humanity. So God himself humbled himself to share in our humanity, and as he's doing that, as he's sharing in our humanity, divinity is coming into humanity, and in this beautiful exchange, we're coming to share in the divinity of God's own life. Be done unto me.
Father, let's, if you don't mind, kind of go back and maybe look a little bit more at some of these, the application of these steps. The reading, you know, you talked about going through and reading maybe 2-3 times that section, mm-hmm. that passage in Scripture, looking for that one word or that one phrase. And then we take that and we meditate upon that. In the meditation aspect of Lectio Divina, if in that section there are multiple phrases, multiple words that stand out, do I maybe just start with that first word or phrase that struck me and table the others for later, maybe the next day or the next time that I'm coming back to pray?
Sure. Maybe we could just do a little bit of that right now. So if there's a reader or there's a listener, and maybe feel free to call in, if there's a word or a phrase that comes up for someone, you know, on the air listening. But maybe we could just read over just as a quick little exercise. We'll do the Matthew 11. And so,
sure.
So this is, again, this is Matthew chapter 11, and this is verse 28 through 30. And so I just invite, we ask the Holy Spirit to come. You're welcome here. And we just open our hearts and our minds. We open our being for a word or a phrase that maybe God would like to share to us today. And we give you permission, dear God, just to touch our hearts and to make yourself known. We invite you into this space with us. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. And so we'll just pause for a moment, and if there was a word or a phrase that comes, maybe it's just the first word or phrase, just choose one. It's a beautiful entire passage, but maybe there's one or two phrases or words that comes to you, and we just let that, just like Mary, we just ponder that in our heart. There's just a space for a little divinity. And so with that in mind, we'll just read this again and invite you to just listen, and we ask God with his divinity just to maybe use that same word or phrase and just reveal maybe there's something that's happening in our lives right now in this moment. Maybe we're in the car, maybe we're at home listening, and maybe there's a difficult situation happening in our lives, or maybe we're just confused, or we've been depressed, and maybe God wants to speak to us in that place in our lives. Maybe it's something we forgot about, but we give you permission, dear God, to come and just touch our lives. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. And we know that God is whispering to us. He's drawing us closer. You know, a little divinity goes a long way. And so finally, with that word or phrase, maybe with that moment in our lives, maybe God is just giving us the power to do something. Maybe it's to make a phone call, or maybe it's to make a visit with someone we haven't seen in a long time, or to say, I'm sorry, ask for forgiveness. Or maybe it's just to spend more time in prayer. But whatever God is speaking to us, we just invite you, dear God, to give us your power, your divinity, to bring this work, to bring your life to fulfillment. And so for a third time, we'll just take that same word or phrase. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. So maybe if anyone out there had a experience, or maybe there's a word or a phrase that comes up, feel free to call in, or if you'd like to share. And Josh and I can keep sharing too.
Right. Well, and I'll throw out the phone number here too, again, as we're speaking with Father Ethan Southard. And the number to call and join us here on the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. You can also email us, innerlife@relevantradio.com. And we are at a place where we need to take our final break for the hour, but we'll be back with more and try and unpack this and dive a little bit more into Lectio Divina here during this hour of the Inner Life. And stay tuned. We'll be right back here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Welcome back to The Inner Life on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. I'm Josh Raymond, and today I'm joined here on The Inner Life by Father Ethan Southard, a priest in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, the pastor of St. John Ute's Church in Chatsworth, California. Today we're talking about the form of prayer known in the Catholic Church as Lectio Divina, divine reading, how we can pray through the scriptures. And Father Ethan just kind of walked us through that opening process of reading and starting to enter into that meditation, that reflection aspect. And we're also welcoming your phone calls at 888-914-9149. Father, as we were going through that section that you read of Matthew chapter 11, there were a few things that stood out to me, but one of the things that I was thinking is, what if I do go through a section of Scripture and nothing really does stand out to me, nothing grabs my attention? Do I kind of keep going back and reread it again and again, or do I just accept, well, maybe there's nothing that God's speaking to me through this? Is there something that maybe I should do differently as I'm reading this if something doesn't speak to me in that moment?
God is always speaking to us. So there's, you know, sometimes we may, in our senses, or we may think we don't hear something, but God is always communicating. And sometimes even in the silence, God is communicating with us more profoundly than we could even imagine. He's drawing us You know, it's even in the complete silence that Jesus, when he was on the cross, he wasn't hearing his Father. He wasn't hearing an affirmation. And yet he was in a beautiful, loving embrace with his Heavenly Father. So for those moments where maybe we don't feel like we're getting an inspiration, or maybe it doesn't seem like it, the invitation would just be to rest. Just rest. Just don't allow that anxiety or the fear or feeling of, oh, I have to do something or I'm doing this wrong. Just embrace it and just thank God for this, the time, you know, the quiet time that you've had, been given to actually even show up. Because, you know, just like, you know, Paul was saying to us in Philippians 2:13, that the very fact that we're in prayer, the very fact that you have a desire, that's already God at work. God is already, for God is the one who, for his good purpose, works in you both to desire and to work. So God is already at work just by the fact that you're showing up. So just rest in that and just be grateful that God loves you. Just listen to that, ooh, whoa, whoa, closer. Do you want to know a secret? He's already singing to you.
Yeah, and part of that is, are we listening? Yeah, sometimes we get distracted by other things in our life that can kind of encroach in on us being able to just be silent and listen. Father, let's go to the phones. We've got Marilyn, who is calling in from Oak Forest, Illinois. Marilyn, glad to have you here on The Inner Life.
Hi, I was laughing when you were singing. what came to me, that was one of my favorite verses, it still is, and it always reminds me that I've been doing, actually since I was a sophomore in high school, and I'm 73, ministry work in the church, and it always reminds me that God's God, I'm not God, and if I just, you know, even though if it seems hard, and sometimes it's really hard, just that he's got me covered, you know, he's not... I'm not doing this. If it's from him, he's supporting me. And like you just said, Father, I think Father was speaking, you know, hanging on that cross was not easy. And so often for me anyway, it's been very, very difficult, but yet at the same time, it's been freeing. Not the kind of rest where you pick up your feet and sit on the couch, but, you know, like resting in him, his strength will get me through it. And I'm also very grateful that the peace that comes if I can just let go and allow myself to be yoked to him instead of yoked to myself. And that humility, you know, I just have to, like you, both of you were saying, God became humble so that we could be humble and share in his divinity. So his strength is our ability to allow him to work through us. And it was so cool that you used that passage, and I really appreciate it.
Wow, thank you, Marilyn. It's so cool to hear you and God in you working and moving and living in you. Like you said, it's his own life. And, you know, as we rest in him, it doesn't mean that we're just, you know, kicking back or just putting our feet up. We could actually rest in him, and whatever we're doing, you know, there's going to be that easiness and that lightness, because it's God himself who is giving us the power. It's God himself who is working. Thank you, Marilyn.
Yeah, Marilyn, glad to have you as part of the program here. And Father, we've got a number of other calls. I'm afraid we just don't have enough time to get to them, and I feel really bad because I know we could talk about this prayer form of Lexio Divina. We could probably talk an entire another hour or two and still just be kind of scratching the surface. But for anybody who is listening and wants to be able to dive into this deeper, are there any additional resources you might recommend, any books or maybe the writings of from a saint or from one of the popes that can give us more insight into this practice of Lexio Divina?
Sure. You know, it started in a very special way with Origen. You know, Saint Ambrose and Augustine, but especially Saint Benedict. He brought this prayer form into the Benedictines, and one of the Benedictines, he's actually my professor at the seminary, but he's one of the world experts. His name is Father Luke Deisinger. So I encourage you can just Google him, Luke Deisinger, Deisinger, and he's written quite a bit on Lectio Divina, but he has just a beautiful writing. It's called Accepting the Embrace of God, the Ancient Art of Lectio Divina. And so you can do that. Pope Benedict, you know, also spoke very highly, as well as Francis.
Right.
So encourage everyone to take that time. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for being here on the program with us, and we are out of time for the hour, but in the remaining 15 seconds here, could I ask you to offer a blessing for our listeners?
Yes. Thank you very much, and the Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May God continue to draw you into communion with Him. Let Him draw you closer as He whispers in your ear the words that we all long to hear, that we are loved in the Beloved. May God continue to bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thanks again, Father Ethan Southard, for being with us here. Big thank you to Nick Centovich and Thomas Engesser for their help in producing the program. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about praying for the souls in purgatory. Join us on The Inner Life tomorrow. Stay tuned. Mass starts right now.